40. Linus, April 2165, Epsilon Indi. It took 14 and a half years to get to Epsilon Indi. Funny, I still sort of thought in terms of human timescales, so there was this feeling that I just used up a major part of my life. Of course, intellectually, that wasn't true. First, I'd only experienced a little over 3 years of personal time thanks to Einstein and time dilation. Second, we're immortal. I just don't think we've internalized that fact. Yet. I had gone off on my own rather than wait for Bill to build another cohort, and I sure as hell wasn't going to team up with either of the Looney Brothers. I don't know what the deal was with Calvin and Goku. In theory, they're me, but I'm pretty sure I'm not that obnoxious. I hope. Anyway, for all their constant fighting, they seemed to be connected somehow. And I guess they knew it since they took off together. Meanwhile, I was here. At Epsilon Indi, 14 light-years from Epsilon Eridani, where Bill was set up, but only 11 light-years from Earth. That made it a reasonable, if not a prime, target for probes. As a K-type star, it was cooler and smaller than Sol, and livable planets would be correspondingly closer to the star and more likely to be tidally locked. Still, it's not like there was a ton of choice in the stellar neighborhood. When I'd been a kid, watching Star Trek and Star Wars and Stargate and all the other science fiction shows, it seemed like every planet was M-class and every star was yellow. And everyone spoke English. Sadly, turns out old Sol is exceptional. Most of the stars in the sky are either smaller or stupid big, which means pretty poor pickings for habitable planets. I was cautious coming into the system. It was possible that one of the other nations had chosen this system as a destination. Medeiros was a known factor, but we had no idea what the others would be like. We could probably rule out friendly, but there was a lot of range between harsh words and firing missiles. I coasted in with a couple of scouts ahead of me to scope out the situation. While I waited, I continued to work on my VR. I had decided on domed floating cities in the atmosphere of Saturn. The rings arched across the sky and giant clouds bloomed up to incredible heights. Below, breaks in the cloud layers gave line of sight for hundreds of kilometers into the depths of the atmosphere, and the cloudscape disappeared gradually into a horizon almost infinitely far away. I stood in my rooftop garden and looked over the city from my vantage point. Hey, my VR. I can be the rich guy with the penthouse.
Structures detected.
I looked up. Guppy had appeared out of nowhere with that announcement. I don't think he approved of my VR for some reason, because he always seemed to be breaking consistency. What have we got? Guppy pulled up a visual. It was at extreme range for our optical telescope, so all I could really tell was that it was artificial.
One scout is approaching the structure for a closer investigation.
Good. When he's close enough, take a sonar scan. Send me the results. Meanwhile, let's move cautiously.
Aye. We have received a voice transmission from the structure.
That was interesting. I think a message from Medeiros would have been more cylindrical and explodey in nature. Play it back, please. Guppy pulled up the audio file.
Piss off, mate.
My eyes opened wide and I choked off a guffaw. Well, Guppy, I think we found the Australian probe, which officially didn't exist, if I remember right. I tried to get my grin under control. Okay, let's open a channel, or whatever it is we do to talk. At Guppy's nod, I addressed the structure. Hi, I guess you were the Australian probe. Pretty sure that isn't a Chinese accent, anyway. This is Linus Johansson of the Faith Ship Heaven 8. To whom am I speaking?
I said rack off.
Nope. I don't seem to be moving. Want to try again? There was a short delay, then,
This is Emperor Meng of the Intergalactic Jalapeno Empire. You're in sovereign space. Last chance. On your bike and piss off.
The guy was either not being serious or he was seriously nuts. Visuals of the structure were coming in with a little more detail now. It appeared to be a haphazard collection of connected structures and geometrical shapes. Kind of a Salvador Dali on drugs version of NASA's International Space Station. I wondered if he actually had colonists in there. Okay, Your Highness. Consider me an ambassador from the Bobbian Federation. The statement was met with dead silence. However, the conversation, if it could be called that, had given my scouts time to get close enough for a sudar sweep. Guppy popped the scan results up in front of me. No life on board. Not even any on board, really. The interior was open to vacuum, and a lot of the structures were missing entire walls. There was no logical order to this thing. He finally broke his silence.
Are you alone? I'm alone.
Well, he was volunteering information now. That was good. I'm here with you, Your Highness. That's not alone, right?
Who's Your Highness? And who are you?
Uh-oh, whack job. Definitely. Still, that's better. At least he's not an emperor anymore. Maybe he's going to become more lucid. What's your name?
Henry Roberts. I was selected to represent Australia in the race to populate the stars. I've been captured by the Jalapeno Empire, and I'm being tortured for our secrets.
And we're back to whack job. Guppy, keep doing scans. I want to identify the working parts of the, palace. See if the probe is in there somewhere. I turned my attention back to Henry. Tell me about yourself, Henry. How were you selected? There was a silence, then a sob.
I'm a sailor. I was a sailor. I used to do solo trips. The government offered me the opportunity because they figured I'd be perfect for the job. I don't like being around people, you know.
There was another sob.
I miss sailing. I miss people.
I have identified the major probe subsystems. Replicant core, fusion reactor, auto factory systems. The probe is partly disassembled and totally integrated into the structure.
Thanks, Guppy. Load the railgun, would you? Something appropriate for the reactor control system, if you can target that. Again, I address the other replicant. How long have you been here, Henry?
Centuries. They're fish. They won't let me go. They keep torturing me. They demand attention. They make me build more rooms.
I remembered back to discussions with Dr. Landers about replicants going psychotic. I wasn't an expert on the field, being more of an engineering type, but this had a definite flavor of psycho. There certainly wasn't any they around anywhere that I could see. Henry, are you able to sail? Do you have a body? Do you see yourself?
What? No, I'm a space probe. The government took that away. I can't feel myself. I miss sailing.
Wow, sensory deprivation for years and years. He probably didn't have the technical know-how to build a VR. I remembered back to the beginning of the trip outbound from Seoul before I'd constructed the VR. Before Bob had constructed the VR, I guess. But there'd been that feeling of disconnectedness. Decades of that? No thanks. Henry, I could give you that back. There's a way for you to sail again. You just need to let me help you to...
Piss off. Damn. You're one of them. This is just another torture session. You're trying to play with my mind. Piss off or I will blow you to hell. Rack off, rack off, rack off, rack off, rack off, rack off, rack off.
My shot took out the reactor control system. The reactor, as it had been designed to do, executed a graceful shutdown. And Henry, as the replicant hardware had been designed to do, went to sleep. This wasn't what I'd signed up for, but I wasn't going to leave the guy like this. Epsilon Indy had a Jovian planet a bit outside of the habitable zone, and not much else. I promised myself I'd have a more thorough look around as soon as possible, but first I had to take care of Henry. The system didn't have an overabundance of ore, but fortunately Henry had located the biggest concentrations. I started the auto factory on a space station right away. I wanted to talk to Bill about this, but a conversation with a 14-year latency would take forever. I was playing with the idea of flying back to Epsilon Eridani and taking Henry with me. I did a close-up investigation of the Australian hardware. It was very similar to my own. No, I mean, really similar. There had obviously been some espionage going on, and someone had borrowed someone else's design. No way this was coincidence. I carefully extracted the replicant core from the palace. I set the auto factory to building a proper cradle, power supply, and extra memory. Once I was sure that I had Henry out and safe, I began breaking down the palace for material. I felt a little guilty, like I was stealing or something, but Henry really wasn't using all this, and it saved time. Henry didn't have the knowledge to put together VR, but I did. I could piggyback him on my system, and he might still be salvageable. I stood for a moment behind Henry and breathed the brisk, salty air. The Contessa cut through the chop with a bounce and roll that I found alarming, but that Henry had reassured me was normal. He had known his vessel down to the last bolt and screw when he was alive, so it had been simple to reconstruct in VR. The South Pacific stretched out to the horizon in all directions. A steady wind to the northwest promised an easy, undemanding day of sailing. Or so the books all said. I was still figuring it out. Henry turned from the wheel to face me.
"Hello, Linus. Come for another round of butting into my life?"
I grinned at him in response. Henry was lucid nowadays, but believed himself to be back on Earth. His memories of the years as a replicant still came back to him as nightmares. I'd made his VR as realistic as possible, which included eating, sleeping, and, bodily functions.
"I had that dream again, Linus." Henry shuddered a little. "The nightmare where I couldn't feel myself, where all around me things talked at me and demanded my attention, wanting me to build something, where the world was just an endless scroll of night."
I sat down. "But it's getting weaker, right? Less intense?" Henry nodded. "Good. Now, tell me about when the government came to you to offer you the chance to be the space probe replicant."